Our treasure. Our treasure. What is it that we treasure? Our dear friend William Mallory Channing insists that it's important that we know what we treasure. It's important that we know, because what we treasure we will worship, and what we worship, well, that could lead us anywhere. So we should know what we treasure. And I'm going to tell a few stories about this community and maybe lift up some things that I think we treasure. Well, of course, we treasure this building. And it's a little funny, because if it's your first time here, you might notice a little dust in the corners and an occasional crack. You may feel a piece of paint flaking on you from moment to moment. But we treasure this place, where we sit with one another under a canopy of the cosmos, where we are allowed to open up our hearts, to be undefended, to just be with each other, to ponder, to wonder, to unearth the hopes that we have, to even be present to our uncertainty, and maybe to know the certainty of relationship and love and generational change. I was lucky this week to be up in the rafters with Catherine Evans and Jim Houston and an architectural historian from Philadelphia who is going to be giving a presentation to the American Philosophical Society next month. And he's going to be talking about our dome. And you may know that above this barrel-vaulted arch, there was a dome. There is a dome. A dome that was built in 1818. A dome that used what was for this country a cutting-edge technology. It's called the Delorme Dome. And Delorme was a French builder who said you don't have to use masonry to build ample domes, and that you can actually build a dome with wood. And you have a structure by which you create a laminated form that can go a long distance. One of the people who introduced the Delorme Dome to the United States was this man, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson brought back a book about the Delorme Dome when he came back to the United States from France. Now, in France, he had discovered the Delorme Dome. But what you might not know is he also discovered it while he was falling in love. He fell in love madly with a married woman. She was from England, and she went home to England and her husband. He came back to the United States for the stuff that he got to do. But there was something about the magic of being under this very broad dome where the light came in from the side in a special way. It touched his heart. It touched everything about him. 40 years later, as he's approaching death, he's continuing to write in his sketchbook that dome. Everything it captured for him, that possibility that could be contained by an enormous dome that was not stone and stuck and grounded, but it was like a feather that could float and soar. And that was what touched Thomas Jefferson, and that's what touched people who built the Delorme Dome in this country. They built that dome not to look backward to Gothic structures, and not to look backward to English country structures, but rather to look back at Rome, to look back at cities that wanted to be eternal, to look back at republicanism, and to say, what would it be like to not live under someone's rule, but to be a self-ruling people, building a republic and creating a church like this that looked back to the Roman pantheon with our flying dome and beautiful plaster and said something about who a people in this country could be, that we didn't have to be beholden to governance by a king, but that we could be a republic with one another, and we could say something eternal to the world. I treasure that. I treasure that when I think about this faith. I treasure the fact that our faith seeks to be a faith across generations, that we seek to experience being an intergenerational people with one another. There is no more beautiful moment in the life of a church like ours than when a baby cries, or laughs, or kicks, or shouts, or runs. There is nothing more beautiful, because you promise us that there's a future. You promise us that there's a reason for us to be. You promise us that we can have hope. We treasure that. We treasure the fact that last night, when we had our auction, that we had children who ran the show. We had children who set up. We had children who cooked food. We had children who served. We had children who offered services. We had children who had fun. We had children who were loved by their primary parents and by their secondary parents. We had a child who was one of the first people to get up and say, "This is my pledge to support this church." This is a place where we take seriously that many generations can be here. And yes, we have special responsibilities and things like that, but we invest in our children because we expect something wonderful from them, and we expect to make something wonderful for them too. I treasure that. I treasure that. This is a congregation that takes seriously who it is in the world. And in the past couple of weeks, it has been remarkable to see how the communities of faith have gathered with one another to insist that some laws be passed in the state. And I am so pleased that this congregation was part of getting the Transgender Civil Rights Bill through the legislature. And I'm so pleased that this congregation was part of the push toward raising the minimum wage in Maryland. I am proud of that, and I treasure it. I treasure who we are in the world. And finally, I think of the fact that we are a congregation that seeks transparency in how we are with one another, seeks opportunity with how we are with one another. You may notice that we're trying a new cover for our order of service. It's colorful. We hope, by the way, that you will let us reuse them, so don't get them too schmutzy. But when you turn them in at the door, we hope that you'll see that this is something by which we want to help people understand who we are with one another and how you get connected to us and what opportunities there are for service and for growing and what it is we stand for. And so for people who might be new to our congregation, please take the whole order of service home and put the cover on your refrigerator. But we talk about the fact that we're trying to carve out time with one another so that we can talk about the fullness of who human beings are, so that on the first Sunday of the month, we'll really say, first things first, we're a religious community. We're a religious community. And so when we have a Reiki session this afternoon, or when we have a session exploring the first century Gospels, proto-Gospels, cousins of Gospels, that we're a religious community. Were Jim and I to offer a chance to do some hymn singing together, which we will one of these Sundays, it's about the fact that we want to discover who we are as a religious community. And then the second Sunday of the month, we're beginning to talk about our story. And the big piece of our story right now that the board and our Committee on Ministry want to accomplish is to talk about, to evaluate who we are with one another, and to evaluate who I am with you, and how effective we are in the world, and whether my leadership has anything to do with that. So we're going to have some time next week after church to talk about what we see, what we feel, what we understand, what we hope for. And on the third Sunday of the month, we want to talk about the three cardinal virtues. Those three cardinal virtues that we talk about every week when we take the collection. That we're going to talk about what it means to be a compassionate people. What it means to be a people about justice. What it means to be a people about equity. And so we hope that there'll be many opportunities for people to think about how we could present that. We want our kids on some Thursday, third Sunday of the month, to offer a workshop about the social justice work that they're doing. We want people who buy in to poverty and homelessness to present something and think about it. To buy into fighting poverty and homelessness. We want people who love our Change for Change partners to have a chance to be with each other, think about who we're partnering with and who we might partner with. It's about being more democratic, more principled, more transparent. And then we've promised ourselves, because last night was so much fun, that on the fourth Sunday of the month, we want social activities that excite people, that feel fun. It may be that's the time that the young adults go to their brunch. It may be that that's the time that our gay, lesbian, and friends group meets together, when Interweave gets together, for something social or political or whatever. But the fourth Sunday of the month, when we also will be introducing new people, orienting them to our congregation, we hope that that's a fun time of self-exploration and mutual community building. That's fun. So those are some of the things that are in that, and it's an attempt for us to think about how we are with one another, how we're transparent and open with one another, how we're able to find places for people to fit in. I treasure that about us. The last thing that I have to speak about, and it is because yesterday was indeed the launching of our stewardship campaign for this year. You know what they often call this lecture in UUism? It's the sermon on the amount. The sermon on the amount. It is a time as we begin to collect our promises to one another, that we need to take seriously what it means to live into our dreams, into the dreams that are under this dome, in the dreams that are in our relationships across the generations, the dreams about our effectiveness in the world, the dreams about the way we transform each other by the activities that we have. I'm going to do something that you might not hear very often. I've been in a good place in my life, in part because you are with me, and I am so thankful. But the fact of the matter is, I've finally paid off a bill that's been on my head for a while. It means I'm a little freer to up my pledge. I'm looking forward to about another year and a half from now, when I finally have finished paying for my graduate education. Oh my Lord, I can't possibly be still paying for that, and I'm this old. Anyway, you didn't hear that. My aspiration is to get to what is considered the full modern tithe. So my aspiration is to get to a place where I can afford to give to this church $75 a week, which would be my full modern tithe. I earn $75,000 a year. and I should give $75 a week. That's my aspiration. I'm not there yet. But I have gotten to a place where I'm moving from pledging $200 a month to this place to $250 a month to this place. That's how seriously I take what it means to build this congregation and to build with each other. And I know that talking about the amount is always a funny thing. And if you want to talk with me personally about it, I'm happy to talk with you about it. But I also think it's a good thing for us to be able to talk about, in real terms, what this place means to us. It's so funny. In the UU Church, you can always talk about politics, and you can even talk about sex. But talking about money is kind of cagey. But I think that we will grow if we learn to talk about money, because we will talk about what we treasure. What you treasure, you will worship. And what I want to worship is the liberal religion that allows me to step day by day in the path that I believe is the moral and ethical path, to be in the way with you, finding ways for us to more fully live into our aspirations, to more fully be about justice, to more fully be compassionate people. Who can love? Who can love? Who can love? Blessed be. Ashe, ashe. Namaste. Amen.